Hello, and welcome to Life Matters, the program where we engage life issues with critical thinking and a biblical worldview. Life Matters is an educational outreach resource of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. We're honored to host a variety of guests within the pro-life movement, each bringing their own unique perspectives, experiences, and backgrounds. The views and opinions expressed by our guests do not necessarily reflect those of Life Matters, Assure Women's Center, or our affiliates. Our goal is to foster open, thoughtful dialogue around life-affirming issues and equip listeners to stand for life.
Welcome to Life Matters. I'm your host, Toni Clark, Executive Director of Assure Women's Center in Omaha. Today, I'm joined by Nate Grotz, Executive Director of Nebraska Family Alliance. We're recording this interview on January 22nd, just one day after the deadline for introducing bills in Nebraska's 2026 legislative session. Nate is here to help us understand what's happening in Nebraska right now, how national developments are shaping life issues, and what this moment means for protecting women, families, and the unborn. Nate, welcome back to the program.
Thanks so much, Toni. It's great to be back with you.
Good. So, Nate, the bill introduction deadline just passed yesterday. As we begin this legislative session, what life-related bills have been introduced?
Yeah, well, this is a really busy but important time of year. The Nebraska legislature is in session. Senators are at the Capitol. They've been introducing hundreds and hundreds of bills. If anyone ever has trouble falling asleep at night, go to the legislature's website, do some bill reading. There is a lot. Okay. A lot that has been introduced, but nothing could be more important, right, than working to protect life in our state. And lawmakers have some really important opportunities to do that this year. And so there's just a few new bills that touch on this issue that have been introduced, but also a number of carryover bills from last year that we're still working to try to advance this year. But in terms of new legislation that has been introduced, one pretty unique one, and also one that we're really concerned about, and that's LB 1161. And this bill, in short, would make it so that minors in Nebraska would be able to obtain abortions without parental consent. And that's something that is incredibly dangerous to families, to young girls, and to the lives of preborn babies. And so this bill, 1161, would change existing statutory requirements around informed consent and the age of majority, and make it so that if a minor in Nebraska is pregnant, they do not need parental consent for medical or healthcare decisions, including abortion. And, you know, you think about the type of situations that young women might find themselves in when they are pregnant. They could be in an abusive relationship, or even human trafficking. Yeah. And this essentially is making it so that an abortion could be performed on them without the parents consenting or even knowing that their daughter was pregnant. And so that's an incredibly dangerous bill, one that we're going to be opposing and encouraging others to oppose as well. But on the flip side of that, we're going to be supporting LB 1242. And this is a brand new bill that would actually allow child support to be enforced beginning in the first month of pregnancy. And, you know, that's significant for a few reasons, but really it's acknowledging that is a life, that is a child in the womb. They don't magically become human or a child when they're born. They're already a child. They're already a human being that should be cared for. And so this ensures that fathers are invested in supporting the life that they have created, supporting the mom, supporting the baby. And so that's really an important thing for continuing to advance a culture of life and ensure that our laws reflect that and that families can thrive in our state.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I was thinking about the LB 1161 as a mom. I mean, to me, that's just ridiculous that the state would try to allow my minor child to have basically a surgery without parental consent. I think about the long-term consequences that we're starting to see, or that we do see for young ladies that have had abortions, and for a mom to know that her, or not to know that her daughter could potentially have these long-term effects of when she starts to be depressed or suicidal and have no idea why, because she's been able to have an abortion without her parental consent. It's just unthinkable to me.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, you think about it, and right, I mean, there are all sorts of things that kids can't do without mom and dad, you know, having a say. You know, even taking a Motrin at school, you know, cops, you know, all these things, right? But then this bill says, well, if they're pregnant, they actually don't need mom and dad's consent anymore. But it's those moments, right? I mean, these are hard, tragic situations, but that's when parents are needed most. And this bill would completely remove them from the equation. It would leave these young girls by themselves. It's to be harmed. And it prevents, you know, parents, but also prevents, you know, if you have a child who is pregnant, you think about what the abortion industry is now trying to do. I mean, they are all in on the abortion pill. They want to be able to send it into people's homes. Yep. And so you could have situations where the abortion industry or an abusive partner is forcing a young woman into an abortion, ending the life, you know, potentially of your grandchild.
Yeah.
Without you even knowing.
Without knowing.
I mean, that should never be allowed to happen. We need to make sure that we're strengthening and upholding parental rights, that we're coming alongside these women and providing them with actual care and support, like is happening across our state. Mm-hmm. And so it's a very dangerous bill, and one that we're going to do everything we can to help defeat.
Good. Well, we will be praying right along with you. Also think about who benefits from this. Who would benefit from this bill? No one but the abortion industry.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly right.
Really, you guys are up against a lot, but we will certainly be praying along with you all. So, Nate, what's the political climate like in the unicameral right now when it comes to life issues? Are you seeing overall that there's some momentum or resistance or just kind of the same?
Yeah, it's a really good question. You know, I think right now with our legislature, it's a tough climb on this issue. We have some really strong support, even a majority, but our legislative system is set up in such a way that we have a really high filibuster threshold, and so we actually need 33 votes out of 49 senators to pass any, you know, pro-life legislation. And so that makes it really difficult. And right now we're in a situation where the margins are just razor thin. The votes might not quite be there. And so, you know, we're trying to find new and creative ways to continue to move the ball forward. And that's what you're seeing with some of these bills. You know, we've got LB 213 that I think is an incredibly important bill. This bill would actually require schools to teach human embryology and to actually have accurate fetal development curriculum to teach school children the scientific fact that life begins at conception, at age-appropriate levels, and to show, you know, pictures and videos of human development inside the womb. And you think about the type of impact that could have. I mean, that's how we begin to reclaim some of this territory and move our state into a better place. And so that's a bill we're going to be pushing really hard for, that we think we might be able to get the votes for this year. And there's some other opportunities as well, but it's all about, you know, how do we build off of what we've done in the past while continuing to work to see every life cherished and protected in our state? You know, that's our mission. That's our goal. And we want to do everything that we can, you know, including all the great pregnancy help organizations, making sure that they have, you know, the ability to be on the front lines, to serve and care for women and children, and to be able to oppose what the abortion industry is trying to do, which is to take our state in the complete opposite direction.
Yeah. So what should Nebraskans be watching? What should we be watching for over the next few weeks as bills begin to move into committee and floor debate? And what can we do?
Yeah. Senators, you know, they'll be starting to have committee hearings on these bills. They'll be beginning floor debate on these bills. And, you know, it's really amazing. It turns into, you know, this battle of worldviews and ideologies that unfolds inside our state capitol. And so being engaged really starts with being informed. And uniquely to Nebraska, right, we have a unicameral. We just have one house, 49 senators, and that's it. And the reason for that, the design, is that it's the people of Nebraska that are actually that second house. And so there is a huge responsibility and opportunity for the citizens of our state to play an active role in our legislative process. So knowing what's going on at the Capitol, contacting your state senator, letting them know that this issue matters to you, that you want to encourage them to support pro-life legislation and to oppose the pro-abortion bill. It makes a difference when senators hear from their constituents, people who they are there to represent, and people have the opportunity to testify at hearings on bills. They can submit online comments. They can contact senators. And we've just seen time and time again when, you know, it looks like there might not be a way forward.
Happens
And we
again.
see people step up, we see people praying, we see people contacting senators, and God makes a way. And so we're continuing to do all those things, and you know, we're excited about what God might do, but we each have a role to play.
Absolutely. So on your website, are there instructions or information about the bills that you all are supporting or opposing?
Yeah, we have a bill tracker on our website, NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org, and you can see all the bills, you know, that we've talked about and more, all the pro-life bills. You can get the information on the bill, what it would do, why it's good or bad, and also how you can contact your senator in support or opposition of legislation. So we try to make it simple and easy for people to get the facts, get the information that you need, and be empowered to go out and use your voice to make a difference for life in our state.
Life Matters is the program where we engage life issues with critical thinking and a biblical worldview, and it is a ministry of Assure Women's Center. Join us throughout January as we honor every precious life. You can invite a speaker for Sanctity of Human Life Sunday or request free digital materials for your church's use. We also look forward to 40 days of prayer, February 18th through March 29th. Be part of this united season of intercession. Visit firststeptolife.com for more information.
Welcome back to Life Matters. I'm here with Nate Gross of Nebraska Family Alliance. And we're talking about what's happening right now in Nebraska and across the nation when it comes to protecting life, supporting women, and advancing a culture of life. So, Nate, looking nationally, we're seeing some states more aggressively trying to expand abortion while others are strengthening their protections. What trends are you watching now that could shape the future of life issues across the country?
Yeah, you know, Nebraska, you know, even in the middle of the country, we certainly are not immune, right, to, you know, outside forces and movements and trends that are happening nationally. You know, certainly following the overturn of Roe v. Wade, we saw this huge push for state ballot initiatives trying to create a right to abortion in individual states. And you have states who are taking strong steps to protect life. And as you said, states going the other direction. And so, you know, we're still kind of in the middle of that. And our state is trying to figure out where we go from here. Thankfully, in 2024, we were able to defeat a really extreme effort to create a right to abortion here. And we were able to pass pro-life protections in our state constitution. And so now it's time for us to take the next step forward, to continue to build off of those successes and to find as many ways that we can to save as many lives as we can, because we know that this issue is not going away. It's not going away. The abortion industry, they're trying to double down on their efforts, and so we have to be prepared to meet that head on. And you know, really, I think what's really important, because at the heart of this is that, you know, while we're talking about bills and legislation, this isn't political, right? This is not a political issue. Yeah. You know, fundamentally, this is a moral issue and this is a spiritual issue.
Yes.
If you look at some recent events in our country where a few months ago you have Charlie Kirk being shot and killed while speaking on a university campus, you see the reaction to that. And we had a lot of people who reached out to us after that happened. And I think to me, why this felt so different was that ultimately, I think what we were witnessing was our culture publicly executing a Christian for saying what we believe, and people applauded. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we are long past the days where even the abortion industry said that abortion should be safe, legal, and rare.
Rare. I mean,
they celebrate it, they promote it. They spent $20 million trying to write it into our state constitution as a fundamental human right. And so I think the hard truth here is that we have to care more about saving babies from abortion than the abortion industry cares about increasing their bottom line.
Yeah.
And they care a lot.
Yeah.
But we have to be prepared to step into these battles and conversations out of love, to speak the truth and to be there for women and families in our state.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, once again, we're just, as a pregnancy center director, we're just grateful for the work that you all do. There are some things that we can do. We can serve the girls that come into our doors, but you guys are doing some of the heavy lifting as well, trying to protect us by placing laws in place that will protect the girls that we serve and just life in general. So we're really grateful for what you all are doing. Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about something that happened in November of last year. Governor Pillen signed an executive order restricting taxpayer dollars from going to abortion providers. For listeners who may not have already or have not followed that announcement closely, can you explain what this executive order actually does?
Yeah, Tony, this is so important. And what a great, great victory that we had here a few months ago with this executive order that defunded Planned Parenthood and all abortion providers of Nebraska taxpayer dollars. And this is really important for a lot of reasons, right? But fundamentally, taxpayer dollars should never be used for abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And so what had been happening was we have laws that prohibit taxpayer funding for abortion. So abortion clinics in Nebraska cannot use taxpayer dollars to perform an abortion.
Yeah.
At the same time, they were continuing to receive millions of dollars and taxpayer funding, mm-hmm. primarily through Medicaid.
Yeah.
So abortion clinics would just say, okay, we'll take all of your taxpayer dollars. We just won't use that money for performing an abortion.
Yeah.
But we know how this works. Money is fungible. It's taxpayer dollars going to the same exact entity, the same organization that is performing abortions. Mm-hmm. And this executive order put an end to that by saying, if you perform abortions, you do not get any taxpayer dollars. Okay. No longer can you just say we won't use it for an abortion, but if you perform abortions, you don't get any taxpayer funding. And so that's a huge deal. And if you look at what has happened in other states, I don't think enough people realize the extent that the abortion industry has relied on taxpayer funding. I mean, it is significant. Yeah. And so we've seen in some states, when that stream of taxpayer funding dries up, mm-hmm. it's actually led to abortion clinics closing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so that's why, you know, as we're talking about our legislature, and a lot of people are frustrated, we're frustrated that the votes aren't there to do some bigger things, that we're still finding ways. Our governor, this was a really bold action that he took. And it's all geared towards helping get the abortion industry out of our state.
Okay. So just to clarify, from my own knowledge. So before the executive order, abortion clinics were getting it just through Medicaid.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that the executive order has been signed, they can no longer do that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so this bill,
abortions.
Yeah, if you provide abortions, you can't just say you won't use it for abortion and instead take that money and use it for something else. And now you have other money free for abortion.
Yeah.
It's just a hard stop. This is something, you know, we've been working on for a long time. And
yeah,
there was actually a United States Supreme Court case last summer dealing with this very issue. It came from the state of South Carolina, and their state had taken action to remove Planned Parenthood and abortion clinics from their Medicaid funding. That was challenged, went to the U.S. Supreme Court. We were part of an amicus brief that was filed in that case. And last year, we finally got the decision from that case affirming that states can choose not to fund abortion clinics with Medicaid funding. And so that really opened up the opportunity that we had here in Nebraska to do this new thing.
Good, good, good. So the state reported that more than $500,000 in Medicaid payments went to abortion providers over the last two fiscal years. How will these funds be redirected, or will they be?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that's the thing, right? Most clinics don't perform abortions.
Right.
And so there are a lot of healthcare facilities and clinics that people can go to. Where Medicaid funding can still be used to provide actual health care instead of going to the abortion industry.
Good, good. Awesome, awesome. So Nebraska DHHS recently released this 2024 abortion report, and it showed that 2,501 abortions in Nebraska last year. Now, of those, more than 85% of the aborted babies were conceived outside of marriage. What does that statistic tell us about the deeper cultural issues driving abortion? And I know this is something that is dear to NFA's heart.
Yeah, I love that question because, any issue, you know, that you look at in our country, including abortion, you can almost always trace it back to the breakdown of the family.
Yeah.
And when you look at some of these statistics, and you see that over 85% of abortions in our state are performed, in pregnancies that were conceived outside of wedlock.
Yeah.
You start to get to the heart of the problem, which is, again, is the breakdown of marriage and family.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, marriage is the greatest defender of children, both born and unborn. And when you get outside of that, you start to see a lot of these issues, including with abortion. You know, we know that, those situations happen, and we live in a broken world. And so there are so many people working to help families, to help couples, to help women, to help children. And we need to continue in that work while continuing to speak and defend the truth about the importance of marriage and family in our society.
So Nate, for listeners who want to do more than follow headlines, what are a few practical ways they can stay informed and take action during this session?
Yeah. We have some great information and resources on our website, NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. You can sign up to get our emails and action alerts so that you know when an important bill is going to be up in committee or on the floor for debate, and how to contact your state senator. Again, it's just having that information, knowing when it's time to make your voice heard. And I'll say not taking it for granted. I mean, what a privilege and responsibility we have to get to be a light and a voice for truth at this moment in history. And I think the worst mistake we can make is thinking that it doesn't matter or that someone else will do it for us.
Mm-hmm.
But if we don't, if the people who have been given the truth aren't willing to speak it and to take action, then who will? You know, we've been put here, you know, at this time and in this place to get to bear witness to the truth about life, about marriage, about family.
Yes.
And even, you know, even if our culture or our government seem to be going the opposite direction, then, you know, how much more important is it that we still be willing to do what we can to be salt and light in our culture?
Yeah.
And, you know, we can, you know, rest, I think, in the knowledge of the truth that God is faithful. And, you know, the calling that we have is not to be successful. It's not, you know, to be popular. It's not to have political power. It's to be faithful, to speaking the truth and to showing love to our neighbors. And this is just another way, another area that we can do that.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Once again, that's NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. If you like information about how you can be involved in this session or how you can be praying for Nebraska Family Alliance, NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. Nate, thank you so much for your leadership and for helping us understand both the policy and the politics behind these issues. Thank you for joining me on Life Matters, and I look forward to talking to you again after the legislative session is over, if that's okay with you.
Oh, absolutely. We'll be there. And thanks so much, Tony. We're just so grateful for you and your team, and our state is a better place because of the Assure Women's Center.
Yeah, ditto. Ditto. Thanks so much.
Life Matters is an educational outreach resource of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. To learn more about the ministry of Assure, visit firststeptolife.com. That's firststeptolife.com. There you can learn about the many services we provide, including how we come alongside abortion-minded mothers and empower women to choose life for her and her baby, as well as find our most current broadcasts and all of our past episodes. Join us throughout January as we honor every precious life. You can invite a speaker for Sanctity of Human Life Sunday or request free digital materials for your church's use. We also look forward to 40 days of prayer, February 18th through March 29th. Be part of this united season of intercession. Visit firststeptolife.com for more information. That's firststeptolife.com. Thanks for listening to Life Matters. Join us again next week at the same time right here on Bot Radio Network.